Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Arun Vanigopal, in for Tanzina Vega. A new investigation from the Associated Press found that nearly 1,700 high-hazard dams are in poor or unsatisfactory condition across the U.S. and Puerto Rico. The actual number is likely higher, as some states wouldn't disclose the conditions of their dams, and others had no ratings at all. High-hazard dams refer to ones where loss of human life is likely should they fail. Deaths caused by dam failures have declined in recent decades, but thousands of people live downstream from high-risk dams today. We've already seen some of those dams fail in the last few years, the aftermaths of which have been devastating. The nation's tallest, the Oroville Dam in California, collapsed 2 years ago and forced more than 180,000 people to evacuate the area. And in Nebraska this past March, the failure of the Spencer Dam and the flooding that followed led to the destruction of homes and businesses and left one person dead.
Authorities say a dam has failed on a river. You can see the harsh conditions there. Warm weather followed by massive amounts of rain caused water and ice to flood on a highway. Three people who live near the dam are still missing. Weather has prevented search and rescue efforts there.
Most of the nation's dams are more than 50 years old, and experts are increasingly concerned that the dams aren't equipped to handle intensifying rainstorms and floods linked to climate change. Tanzina Vega recently spoke with David Lieb, correspondent with the Associated Press, about the state of dam infrastructure in the U.S.
Some of these dams literally have cracks in them. Water is leaking out through concrete, or in some cases when the dams are made out of earth, water is bubbling up, which could mean there's a sign of internal erosion in the dam, and that's not good. In some cases, the problems at the dams are, well, natural, you might say. There are trees and bushes that are growing on top of the dams that could cause problems. There are animals burrowing holes in dams in some cases. And in other cases, the problems are a little more hard to detect. For example, some dams have spillways that are of an inadequate capacity to handle the amount of water that could come at them in an extreme rainfall event.
Who is responsible for inspecting and maintaining these dams? Is there enough oversight or regulation right now?
There really is a patchwork across the country when it comes to the regulation of dams. Some dams are owned by the federal government, and they're inspected by the federal government, perhaps by the Army Corps of Engineers. These are dams that you might think of that are really large. Maybe they're holding back a huge lake and they're generating hydropower. But most of the dams across the country are regulated by state inspectors. These dams may be owned by local cities, counties. They might be owned by private individuals or homeowners associations or a business. When it comes to regulating these dams, many states hire their own inspectors who go out and visually look at these dams. But in other states, they rely on the dam owner to hire a private engineer to go out and inspect their own facility. So it really does vary quite a bit around the country.
David, were there any states that stood out as far as having more egregious or more severe dam conditions than others?
Well, there are certainly some states that had more of these dams in the high hazard, poor, and unsatisfactory condition. Georgia had nearly 200 of those, North Carolina, 168. In fact, the Southeast had sort of a larger cluster of these, but it wasn't exclusively the Southeast, where we saw high numbers of these. Pennsylvania had 145 in that condition, Ohio 124, and even New York had 48 in those condition, which ranked about 11th nationally. So the fact that we were able to identify dams in this category in 44 out of the 45 states for which we received information tells you that this is an issue across the country, not just in one particular region.
There are people most likely living either in the vicinity of these dams or directly downstream from these dams. Are they aware of the scope of the problem?
In some cases, yes, and in other cases, probably not. These emergency action plans lay out the area that would be flooded if the dam were to catastrophically fail and what structures lie in the way, what homes, what businesses, when you might expect the water to reach there if the dam did fail. But these documents also spell out who would be responsible for contacting and alerting the public about this danger. Now, in states where these are public records, it's possible that people may be aware of this. In some states where these are not public records, it's sort of hard to imagine, if you don't live within eyesight of the dam, that you're aware of the potential danger. Because these dams, if they were to fail, they're not just flooding the people who are within eyesight of the dam 100 yards downstream. That water is going to flow into a creek, which is going to flow into a smaller river, which is going to eventually make its way to a bigger river. But along the way, there's the potential for people who are 2, 3, 5 miles, 10 miles, 15 miles downstream to be affected if they're in the valley along these waterways.
David, what can be done given the severity of some of the damage that you've described here in your reporting?
Well, the federal government does have some money available for the first time. In the 2019 fiscal year, the federal government through FEMA distributed $10 million to about half the states to address high hazard dams that are in poor condition, putting people at risk. Now, that $10 million, if you looked at it, really would be about enough to fix one dam. But this money is not to make the actual repairs. It's to finance the engineering studies, the plans that would be necessary to eventually make the repairs. A few states also have their own grant programs where state agencies are making state money available to repair dams. So there is some attention being brought to this issue. But to fix everything would cost tens of billions of dollars. There is not a budget for that at any level of government right now.
As storms become more intense, is climate change creating a greater sense of urgency in what you found around this issue?
Well, certainly among officials in dam regulatory agencies, there is awareness that dams may have been designed for one level of storm and may not still be capable of handling the type of weather that is being experienced now or may be experienced in the near future. I want to give an example of how that comes into play here. So what you don't want to have happen on a dam is for the water to come over the top of it. Because when water stops flowing over the top of the dam, that can erode the backside of it, which causes the dam to fall down and fail. So most dams will have a spillway built into them, and that's a way for the water to start flowing out before it reaches the top. In many cases, these spillways are not large enough to handle the amount of water that could be coming at them. There's a lake in New York called Lake Sebago. It's in a state park. It's near the New Jersey border. The inspectors noted that its spillway was seriously inadequate to handle the amount of water that it could have to handle. And part of the challenge is that to rebuild and repair this spillway, you would also have to rebuild a road and a bridge that pass over the dam. The project could cost $15 million. And that's a lot of money, which is why it hasn't happened yet.
David Lieb is a correspondent with the Associated Press. David, thanks so much for being with us.
You're welcome.